6, receive this word from Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless the Lord's name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with his truth. Let us now join together in singing Alleluia, hymn number 186 in the red hymnal. Our second reading comes from the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Let us pray. O God, you have composed a song. We gather here to try to learn its melody and rhythm, the ways that you help us find our voice. Today, my voice, my words, and my meditation contribute to what you want to do in the world. Help us, O God. Help us learn to sing. Amen. Why? Why is one of the most important words, one of the most important questions in the work of being and becoming human? Any parent knows that there's a long developmental season when their child asks why again and again and again and again. It's the way we learn. It's the way we begin to understand the relationship of things and our place in the world. Mentors and business innovators and educators agree that asking why is a critical piece of expanding the mind, of imagining something new and discerning priorities. Sometimes as we grow up, we stop asking the question so much. This happens in all sorts of contexts for a variety of reasons. Dr. Ronald Vail, a professor of cellular and molecular pharmacology at the University of California, describes his observation of trends in science classrooms. This is what he says, that the approach to teaching science is to, quote, learn the facts and don't deviate from the script. He goes on to say, young children are full of questions spawned by true curiosity rather than a desire to impress. But over the course of their education, he says, students and adults ask fewer questions and more passively accept facts as the way things are. I was struck by this when I came across it because it rings true across so many areas of life. I've certainly heard plenty of stories from among you and others about how you were taught that asking questions in church was not allowed. That the mode of instruction for many of you and in your younger years, much like what Dr. Vail describes, was that the church was going to provide you answers and then your job was just to memorize and accept them. As we grow, it seems the tendency is to stop asking so many questions and settle into that the way things are mode. And we may stop asking questions because we think we have the answers already. We may, however, also refrain from asking questions because we assume we're supposed to know the answers, and we assume that other people know the answers, and so we don't want to appear ignorant. But whatever, it's powerful at any age or stage of life's journey to stop and ask the question, why? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? Why does this matter? Why opens up all sorts of helpful conversations that can lead to greater clarity, to greater collaboration, and to greater freedom? Foundry is a community that believes in the power of questions, of wrestling with ideas, of being honest about what we're thinking, and of exploring things from a variety of perspectives. And we also realize that even a community like Foundry can fall into habits that, without meaning to, might discourage folks from asking questions. This year at Foundry, our hope is to make some space to ask questions, to explore some of the foundational stories and teachings and practices of our Christian faith without taking for granted that everyone already knows them. Today, our question is, why do we sing? This month, we've been thinking about our identity and our call as Foundry Church. And we've been thinking about how our voices in harmony, our different personalities and experiences and gifts and talents are essential to the vitality and the impact of Foundry's life and mission. John Wesley's directions for singing have inspired, amused, and reminded us that we are called to share a common song, to be connected to one another, that's what those directions are for, to help us participate and to join in. Today's direction that we read a few moments ago is the final word from Wesley about how to sing together, and it pretty clearly answers, from a literal standpoint, the question, why we sing. Wesley writes, "Sing spiritually. Have an eye to God in every word that you sing. Aim at pleasing God more than yourself. And in order to do this, attend strictly to the sense of what you sing, and see that your heart is not carried away, but offered to God continually. We sing in worship as an offering to God, specifically an offering of our heart. And in the admonition to have an eye to God in every word and to attend to the sense of what we sing, we're reminded us that the words and their theological meaning are important as well. We sing both to learn our faith and to proclaim our faith. In this direction for singing, as in all of them, there is a close connection between the head and the heart, between the emotional power of the music and the cognitive power of the words. And this strong intentional focus, connecting head and heart, passion and good thinking, is a distinctive mark of Methodist spirituality. That is one of the things that we do, one of the things that we are known for. And singing together is one of the ways that we practice and share it. So we sing together to offer our praise and our hearts to God in worship, to proclaim our faith in God, and to join our voices with others in song. But even here we can ask the question, why? Why is God worthy of praise? Why does this faith need to be proclaimed? Why does it matter, really, if my voice joins with others? The only way to truly answer these questions is to look at the core of our faith story. And that is where we began back in September, as we set the stage for our year-long exploration of faith using the language and the metaphor of music. We began with a 101 course in music composition, applying it as a metaphor for the life that God creates. And in that metaphor, the life that we share and all creation are God's love song. Foundational biblical stories, the creation, the flood and rainbow, Moses at the burning bush, and the Exodus from Egypt, give us the framework for understanding not only the essential elements of God's love song, but our place in the song. Here is what we learned. God's creative love is the melody. God's saving grace is the rhythm. God's empowering eternal presence with us is the ostinato, the stubborn, repeated reality undergirding the song. Do you remember this? Da-da-dum, dum, dum, da-dum, dum, dum, da-dum, the ostinato, God's presence, always there. We are made to sing, to dance, to live, to love, to serve in harmony with God, other people, and earth. God's overflowing love, wanting to be shared, powerful to create and to recreate life, to wake us up and to set us free. God's love is the center of the song. It's the connecting point. And in this interconnected song of melody and rhythm and ostinato, there is some tension. We know that there is tension, but the resolution happens when we cross over whatever it is that keeps us separated from God's love, whenever we cross over whatever it is that keeps us from entering into the freedom of being fully received into the love of God, which is at the center of the song. Friends, we sing because God has given us this amazing song to sing. This song of love. It's a song of grace. It's a song of presence. It's a song of liberation. The God who composes this song, who grants us new life every day, who forgives us again and again, who never leaves us nor forsakes us, who calls us to do scary and beautiful things, who leads us forward into freedom. This God is worthy of songs of praise. This story of love and grace and liberation and justice is a proclamation worth sharing. Last week, Pastor Don, preaching on the gospel story of Jesus sending out 70 of his disciples to proclaim the kingdom of God, reminded us that our collective call is to get shaken out of our seats, to carry the good news into the world, to be the surround sound speakers of God's grace and liberating power in every place that we go. Why is it important for us to do that? Why is it important to add your voice to God's song? Because our lives might be the only gospel that some people ever read. Because your voice, your life, your hope, your love, your mercy, your ability to rejoice even in difficult times because of God's promises, that witness might touch someone's heart, might change someone's life, might lead someone into new life. Your voice matters. It matters that we add our voices, that we participate and share our time and talent and treasure with Foundry, because without our collective power, without our whole harmony, then we cannot change lives. We cannot change the world as we are called to do by God. There is powerful change happening in and through Foundry. I receive messages, personal messages from people connected to this church, from parents whose children attend this church, and tell me that their child's life is changed because of Foundry Church. They give thanks to God for Foundry and the way that we create space that welcomes their beloved child who thought they would never know the love of God because they were gay or lesbian and would be told they were not welcome. Friends, things are happening to change lives in and through Foundry. Since implementing a disciple's path is our entry point for new members, we did that about a year ago, we're seeing an uptick in sustained connection with the church. Of those who have joined Foundry since August of 2016, 92% are actively engaged in ministry in Foundry, most of them in more than two areas of ministry. Just hold on. You're going to want to burst into applause, but just give me a minute. I'm just getting started. Three of those folks who've joined in the last year are exploring candidates for ordained or consecrated ministry. Five of those folks have planted small groups. Eight are ministry team leaders. 39% of new members just since last August are involved in small groups at Foundry. Now you can clap. Listen to this one. In the past 10 months, Foundry has helped launch Sanctuary DMV, has trained folks in rapid response in solidarity with vulnerable populations, has created a sacred resistance ministry, has stood in solidarity with Bishop Karen Olivito and T.C. Morrow, and advocated for affirmation and full inclusion of LGBTQ people in the life of the United Methodist Church, has been written up in the Post for its life-changing ID ministry, has furnished a home for a previously unhoused family, has offered unconscious bias training, has coordinated tours of the National Museum of African American History and Culture with guiding questions developed by our racial justice ministry, and re-energized our connection with the Washington Interfaith Network, and those are only highlights. Are you keeping up down there? Hardest working man in church life. Our
children and youth and families are getting a wider range of experience in worship and education through our addition of classes and children's worship and a youth retreat that's happening next weekend that has so many young people signed up for it that our director of family ministries is scrambling to find enough transportation to get all of them there. Foundry has provided guidance and inspiration to people through our hospitality and inclusion, through our live streaming of music and preaching, through our pastoral statements and congregational stances in response to the critical issues of the day. In other words, Foundry is as important as ever, not only to those of us who worship here, but to all those whose lives are touched by the harmony we create when we sing and share and serve together. So today, if your life has been impacted for the better through Foundry Church, or if you are inspired by what Foundry stands for and who Foundry stands with, if you are a regular worshiper here in our sanctuary or part of our virtual congregation through live stream, I'm asking you to find the estimate of giving card that is found in the pew in front of you, or if you're worshiping with us online, there is there's a line you can click on, a link. That you can find the estimate of giving card. And I'm going to ask you to get that out now and to write down what you want to contribute to 2018's annual fund here at Foundry Church. In a few moments, we will create harmony together by singing and by bringing these estimate of giving cards forward or confirming them online. Friends, it's impossible to overestimate and overemphasize how important our shared ministry of stewardship is. These commitments are the single most critical piece of that stewardship. When we give funds to Foundry, we sustain Foundry. I want to be clear, there are some folk who sometimes think that there is a Methodist mothership out there who's given us money. Let me just tell you, that is a lie. Does not happen. We are those who support Foundry. Without your gifts, it simply won't happen. And we create this community that then gives us the opportunity to be good stewards of time and talent. Without the funds, we can't do the rest. Last year, we had 395 pledges, and this year, our goal is a 25% increase in pledges to help us meet our goal of raising $1.6 million. I didn't get up here with the up-to-date numbers from last service, but this is where we were this morning. We had 107 pledges for a total of $700,000. I think since the last service, we added about $85,000 to that in pledges. You may have noticed, friends, that in our I Am Foundry Voices in Harmony Stewardship booklet, there's a stepped graph which gives us a breakdown of the giving of Foundry Church. And there are many people who are giving generously and sacrificially and carrying a large part of the load for Foundry. But for almost half of our membership, we have no record of any gift at all. And if those more than 650 folks were to make a commitment, even $5 or $10 a week, our financial picture would be strengthened greatly. Friends, we at Foundry sing together, literally and figuratively, to love God, love each other, and change the world. And the world needs changing. The world needs changing, and so we sing. We sing through our prayers. We sing through our study. We sing through our service. We sing through our advocacy. We sing through our solidarity. We sing through our care. We sing through our financial support. We sing because because children in our human family are hungry, because siblings are abused, because sisters are sold, because brothers are bullied, because cousins are profiled, because Mother Earth is poisoned. In a world that's gone mad, its values resting upon idols and illusions, we here at Foundry sing a song that echoes what is true and what is honorable and what is just and what is pure and what is commendable and what is excellent and what is worthy of praise, because we sing God's song, and God's love song has power to heal, to mend, and to bring new life. We are those who are privileged to know that God's love and faithfulness are new every morning. So sing the song, friends. Sing the song. Because in this place, in this moment, as we sing with all we've got, God is looking at us because we're who God's got. We're who God's got in this beautiful, broken world. So sing. 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 Amen.